Good afternoon, and welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Delia Benz-King. The Eco News Report is brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Eco News. Today, my guest is Alec Howard, who's a board member of Zero Waste Humboldt, and we're going to be talking about all things zero waste. Thank you for being on the Eco News Report today.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so today we're just talking all things zero waste, kind of.
Awesome.
A few different topics, right? So
Maybe
you could just start by introducing yourself, give a little background about who you are and how you came to be in this position.
Yeah, sure. My name is Alec Howard, and I came to Arcata a couple of years ago as an HSU student. And I sort of became involved with the city's environmental services department and Zero Waste Humboldt, and have just been doing all things zero waste for about a couple years now.
It's kind of like a lifestyle, huh?
Yeah, it started as that. It's kind of two things. It's a personal lifestyle that in the choices that you make, but then it's also having, you know, a broader impact on systems and sort of creating systems that facilitate change in other people as well.
What inspired you to get on this path?
What inspired me was before I transferred to Humboldt State University, I was in the Bay Area, and I got an internship at a solid waste and recycling facility. So it was where all the recycling and trash came to for the city of Sunnyvale. And it would get dumped out on a floor and then put on conveyor belts, hand sorted. And it would go through these just crazy machines with magnets and big, you know, spinning conical, like, metal machines with spikes and holes that sorted things by size. And it was fascinating because they had this sort of meticulous sorting process, but then afterwards, there would still be a conveyor belt full of materials that would go to the other side of the warehouse, and that was all the materials that didn't get sorted out and was still going to the landfill. And that conveyor belt full of materials was going, you know, several hours, or like probably 10 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week. And so it was just nonstop of materials kind of like going to the landfill, and I could see that firsthand, and it really kind of woke me up to the fact that we have a really serious problem. And yeah, I got inspired to reduce waste in my own life and then continued to take advantage of opportunities that existed around me, and so here I am.
Yeah, and as we were talking before, you kind of wear, like, a few different hats in the zero waste world. So what are those different positions that you do?
Yeah, so I started with the City of Arcata's Environmental Services Department and have been with them for a year and a half, and I work on their solid waste and recycling programs. After that, I got involved with Zero Waste Humboldt. I joined the board of directors, and it's been a little bit over 6 months with Zero Waste Humboldt. Being involved in Arcata's just everyday sort of culture and life here, I saw opportunities that I could take advantage of that maybe some of these organizations weren't able to fulfill. And so I've started a number of sort of projects, and a couple of them have turned into actual businesses. First one was the Mug Library. And then I had...
The muck or mud?
The mug.
Mug, okay.
Mug library, like reusable mugs
gotcha.
To drink coffee out of.
Cool.
And I started that one at the farmer's market, where I was basically offering mugs to people. And that's a free sort of kind of fun thing I did. And then I started this compost thing where I would collect compost from businesses and take it to farms and community gardens. And I saw that there were other businesses that were actually making money off of collecting compost and taking it to places. So I realized that, hey, maybe I could get paid for that. So that's when I started developing the Arcata Compost Revolution project, which is now a pedal-powered, community-scale composting business. And then the Community Cupboard, which is a reusable dishware rental service for all types of events that go on that need dishes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool that all these things you've kind of, like, thought up and they've come to fruition. And you know, I think Arcata and Humboldt County in general, we tend to think we're pretty environmentally friendly, environmentally minded, but there's so much more room for new ideas. So it's really cool to see all those things coming
Yeah. When I first came to HSU, I had read and heard about Arcata being really progressive and on top of everything, and I was so hungry for change and excited. When I showed up here, I was a little bit let down at first, thinking, oh, this isn't the eco dream world or utopia that I had thought it was going to be. But as you get involved here, you realize kind of under the cover of everything, there is a culture that is different than other places. That's what's kind of allowed me to be successful.
Definitely. Yeah, I think there's always just so much more room, and maybe people are doing all these things in their own daily lives, but it's nice to, like, really bring it out to show everyone, like, what you can, all these big changes you can make.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of work to do,
yeah.
concerning the environment, which is kind of ultimately what we're doing is pursuing sustainability. And yeah, we have a long ways to go, and we have a lot of things we can do, and a lot of things that we might not be able to do right away. But yeah, it's keeping your eye on the prize and doing what you can.
Yeah. It's kind of fun talking about this, like, millennial to millennial, because, like you said, like, you came here, like, I'm gonna change everything, like, this is it, we're gonna do it, we're gonna save the world, and then you're like, oh, there's, like, all these, like, hoops you have to jump through, but we're slowly, slowly progressing and working through them.
Exactly, and it's a bit, can be challenging to realize that change is actually an incremental process, and it does require time, and that's the way things are in the society that we're living in. But yeah, as long as you continue to be persistent,
mm-hmm.
there's always, if there's a will, there's a way. There's always something that you can do, and
yeah,
it's about taking the time.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about the Zero Waste Action Plan.
Yeah.
I'm actually not super familiar with it, so can you tell me just what it is?
Exactly? Yeah, so Zero Waste is sort of a philosophy based on managing materials in a way that's more sustainable than we're used to thinking about them. And it takes sort of a holistic perspective when you look at the real life cycle of materials, where it was generated, how it was generated, the transportation costs, why are we using this material, and then ultimately, how is it being disposed of, where does it go, and what are the impacts of that. And Zero Waste is kind of this approach that takes that more holistic perspective of a material's life cycle and tries to find solutions that prevent even the idea of it being waste in the first place. So if we can look at this material as a resource that's just out of place that we can find a use for, then that ultimately is not waste anymore. It's just a material that needs to get to its next step. And so a lot of local jurisdictions, so city municipalities, have latched on to the idea of zero waste. It's grown recently. It started as like a lifestyle trend, I think, and then, you know, people started taking it more and more seriously. And so now you're seeing local governments that are like, yeah, we try and recycle, but recycling's not enough. And so how do we reduce waste and reuse things and prevent waste from being generated in the first place? So a number of cities, large and small, have adopted zero waste action plans. Not too many, but so we're kind of, in being in Arcata, we're in the sort of top percentile of people who are adopting zero waste action plans. We're kind of early to the start. So yeah, the city of Arcata has set a goal of achieving zero waste. The city council has had that goal for a number of years, and luckily we're able to act on that goal and create sort of a plan. And so Zero Waste Humboldt and the city have been working together to develop a zero waste action plan for the city of Arcata that basically outlines how we divert more materials to the landfill. And so that's what we have a draft of now. It's a roadmap and sort of with goals and principles. So we're all kind of on the same page in pursuing zero waste, and it's a nice framework or lens for us to look at, and businesses can refer to it, citizens can refer to it, and, you know, the local government can refer to it. So it kind of organizes us and gives us a roadmap towards zero waste, which can be defined as 90% of materials diverted from the landfill.
Okay.
So not actually zero.
Right. Okay.
But
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, there's no Which, I mean, there's probably some kind of way to divert 100%, but we'll see if that comes in the future sometime. But is there, is there, like, a year that we're, like, shooting to, like, achieve this by?
Yes, so there's near-term, mid-term, and long-term goals within, or, well, there's near-term, mid-term, and long-term benchmarks within each goal. The near-term is 2017 to 2019, we're trying to achieve 80% of materials diverted from the landfill. So by 2019, we are going to try to get 80% of materials diverted from the landfill.
That's soon.
That is soon. It's
ambitious, but that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're already in the near term. So as soon as this plan goes into effect, we'll already be in the first stages of trying to get 80% of materials diverted from the landfill.
Do you know what we're at right now?
Currently? We're currently at 68%.
Oh, okay. Seems pretty good.
It is pretty good. Yeah. It's not bad compared to other cities, and it's an interesting way that we measure the percentile, the percentage of materials diverted, but 68% is what we have to work with right now, and getting towards 80%, it's going to be a big gap, and there's going to be a lot of things we have to do to achieve that near-term goal of 80%. And then it ramps up, and the mid-term goals are the years 2020 through 2023. So 85% is the goal by 2023. So 85% of materials diverted from the landfill by 2023. And then the long-term goal is through 2027, and the goal is 90% of materials diverted. And that's sort of the unofficial zero waste goal is 90%. And so that gives us 10 years to get 90% of the materials in Arcata diverted from the landfill. So
nice. All right. So what are the, like, what do you see as the biggest items that are, like, what are we missing? If we're at 68, is that what it is?
Yeah, 68%.
Mm-hmm. What is the extra stuff that is the big, like, problem items that we're trying to get rid of?
Well, it's interesting. It is everything. Yeah. So it is okay. Plastics. It is recyclable paper still going to the landfill. It is construction and demolition materials. It's food. So it really is everything. Mm-hmm. And we can't really overlook that fact. But when we're looking at these percentages, they use weight as a metric. Mm-hmm. So when you analyze materials based on weight, you're going to have the heavier materials take up a bigger part of the pie. So the heaviest materials are the ones that appear to be the biggest source of waste and the biggest problem when you measure by weight, but that doesn't always tell the full story. So, but using the weight percentage, construction and demolition materials are really heavy, and then food is, I want to say, 25% of Arcata's waste stream. So we send 4.5 million pounds of food from Arcata to a landfill hundreds of miles away, and that makes up about 25% of our waste stream. And then there's another, I want to say, like 5 to 10% of materials that are potentially compostable. So if you think about 30% of our waste stream being potentially compostable that we don't have the infrastructure for, I think that's one of the big areas that is kind of glaring. And, mm-hmm. you know, if we do want to use this weight metric to get to 90%, that dealing with compostable materials seems like the easiest way to divert that extra 20% to get to 80%. Or 12, I guess it's 12%. You can change that. So getting to 80% would likely be easiest if we could deal with the heaviest materials first.
Okay, so you're saying that we don't have the infrastructure to deal with the compost? Is that what I'm getting at?
So how do we
solve that food problem? Is it education, or is it, like, having a place to compost, or what? What do you think?
I think it's a little bit of everything. So there is food that is potentially edible that might not be making it to people. So that is a disconnect. We do have services that provide food, that rescue food and provide it to people who will eat it, such as Food for People, Food Not Bombs, the Arcata House Partnership. There are organizations that are recovering food and feeding it to people. And then there are now small businesses that are starting to compost and realizing that you don't need this huge infrastructure or this industrial facility to compost. You can compost in your backyard if you want. So realistically, we don't have any sort of industrial scale model for this, and we don't have the infrastructure set up in place to deal with it. Otherwise, I think we would be, but that's why you're seeing these like small businesses like the local worm guy, mm-hmm. Ziggy's Composting, and the Arcata Compost Revolution stepping up to sort of fill that gap. So it is having that infrastructure that we need to process and transport the materials. But then, like you said, public education is another factor that has to go into this, because it's not just about composting, it's about preventing it, mm-hmm. and reusing it where possible. So educating the public is going to be important for that, and creating the infrastructure, having policies in place, and the Zero Waste Action Plan tries to set a framework for those, mm-hmm. for those goals. Yeah, so there's a lot that needs to be done to address organics, and yeah, there's a lot of just opportunity, and it's how we get there is up to us.
Right. Well, I think this is a good time to mention, if you're tuning in right now, my name is Delia Benz-King, and I'm talking to Alec Howard about all things zero waste in Humboldt right now. And we're talking about the Zero Waste Action Plan currently, and we've been talking about food waste, how that's a really big percentage. But so let's pretend, like, what if I'm a small business in town? Like, what are the steps to achieve zero waste? What are the things that I need to do?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it changes business to business, of course, but the main items.
Yeah, the biggest thing about adopting the zero waste philosophy and really trying to apply that to your business is understanding what zero waste means. So focusing on preventing and reusing waste in the first place, and then using the highest and best use, or achieving the highest and best use of those materials that you're using. So if you're creating food scraps, can you donate that to a pig farm or compost it? Or if you're generating recyclable materials, are you making sure you're recycling those things? But then really looking at the higher aspect of the waste stream, which is, you know, prevention and reuse, what materials are you generating? You have to figure that out first. So understanding zero waste as a philosophy and how it focuses on waste prevention and reuse, and then understanding your own waste stream, doing a waste audit, I would highly recommend that. That's, you can't really know what sort of mm-hmm. actions you should take if you don't know what the problems are that you're taking action for.
Do you have a way to do that? Can you do a waste audit for someone, or can someone like have a checklist that they can do that?
Yeah, waste audits they can get really intense and detailed, or they can also be as simple as you opening up the trash can and looking inside of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sometimes we do waste audits for the Arcata Farmers Market, or a big waste audit has been done for Humboldt County in 2011, and we often refer to that. But it's as simple as looking in your trash can and making a list or taking pictures of the material, and if you can kind of quantify your waste stream in some way that gives you a sense of what kind of materials you're generating the most, you can do a waste audit on your own, and it takes a few minutes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So this action plan we're looking at right now, I see it says draft on it. Is it still a draft? And if so, like, and when will it be finalized? How do people find it? How do people look at this document?
Yeah, so it is in draft form right now. So it's up for public comment. So everyone is welcome to go to thecityofarcata.org and click on the environmental services and find the zero waste page. We actually have a page that's dedicated to zero waste now, and you can access the PDF online and look at it, look through it, provide public comment. And the way that you do that is you can email eservices@cityofarcata.org, and the deadline for public feedback is March 13th. So if you have something you would like to see the city do, you can support an aspect of the Zero Waste Action Plan, or maybe add something new that you'd like to see that isn't included in there, or just say it looks great. Anything, all feedback is welcome, and people have until March 13th, and you email eservices@cityofarcata.org.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm so glad that this is a thing that's happening. It's pretty cool stuff. Yeah. So before we run out of time, let's talk about a couple of your other projects really quick. You mentioned the mug library.
Yes.
I want to talk about the pedal-powered compost. What's it called again?
Pedal-powered community-scale composting, the Arcata Compost Revolution.
Cool. Yeah. Can you go into a little more detail about it?
Which one do you want to talk about?
Oh, the compost.
Okay, let's talk about it. Yeah, so when you look at the waste audit that's been done for Humboldt County, you see food as kind of the big part of the pie. And
nice pun.
Oh, yeah. I did not mean to do that, but that's a good one. So when you look at food and you're like, oh, what do we do about this? The natural thing is like, okay, well, we need to compost it. And industrial scale composting facilities require a lot of capital. And I've been a part of sort of citywide rollouts for composting in residents and with businesses. And not too many cities have been really effective at getting high participation and low contamination. A lot of times they might get high participation and high contamination, or low participation and low contamination. But what you really want is everyone composting, and you don't want it to be really contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
And so we haven't seen too many successful citywide rollouts in cities like Seattle or Berkeley where everyone's doing it and doing it really well. So that model has its flaws. Additionally, the transportation costs are high. You create greenhouse gas emissions. So I was introduced to the idea of community scale composting, which basically says that you're most efficient if you process the materials as close to where they're generated as possible,
mm-hmm.
but then you're also realizing the value of those materials as close to where they're generated as possible. And so it's a different approach than the industrial model, creating a big sort of energy intensive centralized system, but it kind of decentralizes it and disperses it, and finding, you know, farms that you can compost that in backyards, or if you can feed it to pigs. So doing it in a way that spreads the materials around and doesn't require one sort of centralized facility. I was introduced to that idea, and I thought about it and thought about, hey, we're in Arcata and it's a small place with farms and community gardens nearby. It's bikeable. And I'd seen other businesses that have done pedal power community scale composting, like in Austin, Texas, and I just kind of went for it here and started composting around, and I started doing it for free, and then, yeah, it kind of flourished.
So what you're doing is people call you up, they have compost, and you transport it via bike to some kind of farm or community garden?
That's correct. Yeah. So anybody that generates compostable materials usually pays to have those materials sent to the landfill in their garbage bin. And so what we're able to do is connect with local farms and community gardens, places where there's space to compost, and we'll haul those materials away for you the same way that a garbage truck would, but mm-hmm. we'll take them via bike to a farm or community garden or somewhere that we can take to better dispose of them than a landfill.
And you're doing this for free, or no?
No, okay. We started doing it for free.
Okay.
I started doing it for free just to prove to myself that it was possible. And then eventually, if it's something that I'm doing and it takes a lot of my time, I have to charge.
Right, of course. But, you have to live as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, it's a small business, and like I have never thought I would be an entrepreneur, but I guess I'm, you know, becoming that. And it's started as just being an activist and getting involved and seeing an opportunity and taking advantage of it. So
cool. So it's you and some friends that are doing this, or is it just you?
I have now a couple people that are working with me. I have someone doing like graphic design and social media, so we can like have a website and a way to outreach to people. I also have someone who's helping me do like bookkeeping and organizing so that I can stay on track of everything, because starting a business it requires a lot of little things. And so I have two students, two HSU students that are aspiring learning professionals, and they're able to work on what they're learning in school and apply that to this new startup.
Sweet. Apply it in real life situation. That's awesome. Yeah. So if someone wants to have the service, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we do offer both residential and business compost collection. The best thing to do would be go to our website, www.arcadacompost.com. and we also have a Facebook and an Instagram if you just want to check out what we're doing and follow it and see, you know, we're growing and see more people composting. It's going to be a good story. And yeah, we're serving a limited number of businesses and residents right now, but we're happy if people want to inquire and see if we're able to serve them right now. We are in the process of scaling up, and so, you know, taking this smaller approach and scaling up, we have to grow slowly. But yeah, we are accepting new clients and partners. Yeah.
Awesome. So exciting. Well, we only have a little bit more time, but is there anything else that you have upcoming that you want to talk about, or just any messages in general to everyone listening?
Definitely we're lucky to have this zero waste action plan coming forth. We're one of the smallest cities to undergo a zero waste action planning process, so we're really lucky. It's a really unique plan because it focuses on creating behavior change and a zero waste culture and having a lot more public education around zero waste than a lot of the other zero waste action plans we've seen. So it's going to be a different one than most zero waste action plans. So I would encourage people to check it out and provide some feedback and try and be a part of it however they can. What else is coming up that I would like to talk about? It's spring, and so it's gonna start getting nice out, and I was gonna say it's better for composting.
Yeah.
And then the farmer's market is happening, and we're gonna be, the Arcata Compost Revolution is gonna be at the farmer's market.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're going to be providing compost buckets, and so those will be on every corner of the plaza every Saturday for the farmer's market. And so people are going to be able to try composting out and see if you have a compostable mm-hmm. material that you can put in the compost bin and get composted at the farmer's market. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what's around the corner. And then we're doing something exciting. We're looking into ways of developing the Arcata Compost Revolution to be a food rescue organization as well. So working up that waste recovery hierarchy and feeding it to animals and feeding it to people and preventing it when possible. So that's what's new and exciting and on my mind.
Awesome. Well, cool. I think we're basically out of time, but thank you again so much for doing this today and for all that you do in the community. It's really exciting to talk to another millennial again, as they say, that's really active and bringing all these things to our community. So
yeah, thank you. Thanks. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Delia Benz-King, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with Alec Howard from Zero Waste Humboldt. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the public affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org. Previous shows are also podcast on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. The Eco News Report is produced at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Tune in again next week for the Eco News Report.